All right, so we're in this series called You Asked, and I want to tell you that today I'm taking one of the questions. I do this once in a while, but I'm mixing things up, and I'm taking the last question that I was going to do, and I was thinking, I don't even have to say this. You don't know what I'm talking about today, but I had this question reserved for the last week of this series, but I decided to move it up today to before the series ends, and there's a reason. The question that we're going to look at in just a minute is very, very important. And over the last several weeks, I have felt the need to speak into things that are happening in our world and in our culture because you're watching them on the news, you're hearing them, we're talking about these things, you're posting about these things, you're having conversations about these things. For instance, have y'all noticed we're in a political season? All right? Republican National Convention's about to start, if it hadn't already. The Democratic National Convention's about to start. There's so much happening with all of that. Now, you can go back. The first question in this series was called Politics and Faith and How They Have to Do with Each Other. I encourage you to look at that question. It was the first question in this series, and you guys asked the question about faith and politics, and I'm glad. But because that's coming to a head again, I'm feeling like, man, I want to address some things as it relates to this. Terrorism and bombings are happening. You know that I finished this message Thursday morning, and I had to, even after that, go back and realize that after that, we had 80-something people killed in France. I mean, after I finished the message, I already talked about bombings and things, and then this happens, and I shared this with Shauna. I was like, look at what happened. She couldn't believe it. So we got all these things happening around the world, terrorism, bombings. You have shootings happening. I know there's been a lot of debate and talk about that, about the police and about black lives and white lives and whatever lives. I mean, we are talking about this. It is everywhere. You have thoughts about it. You have opinions about it. I know because you're sharing them. All right? Not everybody is, but some of us are. And so we're hearing this, and all of this is happening, and I thought, man, I need to talk about this. We cannot avoid this. But then I looked at the last question, and I was like, well, you guys are asking the question, actually. I'm not sure you meant to ask it this way, but I'm going to apply it this way. All right, so here's what I want to look at today, because in the middle of all those things that are happening in our world sits the Church of Jesus Christ. And we here at Quest claim to be a church of Jesus Christ. That is, we want to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're a follower of Jesus or not. If you're not, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening to this conversation. I hope you'll listen in today to what we're going to talk about. But if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, then the way that we live and act in this world matters, especially as it relates to all these things that are happening. So here's the question. How is the church supposed to act in the world today? You guys ask that in a number of ways. There were all kinds of questions about how the church is supposed to be, or how am I? Some people ask, how am I as a Christian supposed to live in this dark, dark world? How am I supposed to react to the things that are happening around me? What do I do about all the judgment and hatred and bigotry and all that? This was the way these things were asked. And so I think the events of the last few weeks kind of climb, and they come and go, don't they? They do. At certain points, there are lots of things, and then they kind of dissipate, and the media puts some things up and some things down, and we just, you know, back and forth. All these things have always been happening, but we're hearing about them more and more. How do we act as Christians, especially as the church? How do we behave in the world that we live in? That is a really good question, and I'm really glad that you asked it, because there's some things I want to say about it today. Before I do, I want to say something. I believe that as a pastor, I have two roles. One is to be a shepherd. That is to inspire, to encourage, to lift up, and challenge those in the church. So a pastor is a shepherd, and we speak with a shepherding voice. And I hope and pray that if you know me as your pastor, you hear that voice. There are times where you might go, ooh, he's kind of stepping on my toes a little bit. But I hope that you feel like I'm a shepherd, that I'm trying to shepherd people. And we believe like small group leaders are shepherds. And, you know, we're called to be inspiring, and we're called to lead, and we're called to help people move from one place to another. I believe that that's part of my role, and I should speak with a shepherding voice. But I also believe as a pastor, I have a prophetic voice. And I don't mean I'm a prophet. Don't hear me wrong. You won't see that on the sign out front. What I mean is, when I stand here, and when I come to you, and when I share, there is authority behind what is said. And though I want to encourage, and though I want to inspire, and though I want to do all those things, there are times when exhortation is important. I don't know if you know what exhortation is. It basically means, listen, loving correction. People don't want to be corrected if it's not in love. I don't, right? But sometimes we think being corrected means somebody doesn't love, and that's not true either, amen? Loving correction. Prophets in the Old Testament especially came to the people, and when they did, they shared about God and about his will for them, and it was usually not a word of like they knew something of the future. It was easy to predict, actually, because they saw the people going the wrong way, and they said, if you go the wrong way, you're going to end up in the wrong place. But if you go the right way, and if you return to God, and if you follow his ways, then you'll end up in the place he would have you to be. That's pretty much what the prophet said. Return to God, return to God, return to God, return to God. That was their basic message. And so I think that it's my role also as pastor to speak in a prophetic voice. And so I come to you today as a shepherd, I hope, and also with that prophetic voice. And I pray, listen, I pray that you would hear the voice you need to hear today as it relates to these things. And if you're offended, good. If you're encouraged, good. If you're challenged, good. Could I be wrong about some of the things I'm saying? Yes. Sure I could. But listen, I think, to what God would want to say to us today, because you asked the question, how are we supposed to act in a world that is dark? And I define that with what I'm saying today as in a world where there is much hatred, where there is anger. Would you agree there's anger? I'm not talking about just anger from those who would call themselves Christians and those who are not. I would say anger among the followers of Jesus. For I believe we have a spiritual enemy that would want to divide us so that we couldn't be the voice in the world. Jessica talked about the spiritual enemy this past week, last Sunday. It was powerful. You need to listen to that message. We have a spiritual enemy, and we live in a dark world, certainly, where there is anger, where there is hate, where there is division, and so much more. So how are we, if we are Christians, supposed to act as Christians? How is the church supposed to act? It may surprise you to hear the answer today, because I felt very moved to speak on a certain verse and a kind of group of verses in the New Testament about how we're supposed to act as Christians. That's the question. How do I act as a Christian in a world that is dark and broken? How do we as a church act in the world? I want to set this up for you. There was a writer named James in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, first century church. And the first century church of James's time, it was basically this. They knew the right answers. They had done the disciple Bible study. I know the answers. But they weren't doing them. They knew what Jesus had taught. They knew what the church was supposed to be like, yet they weren't doing these things. So James is very, you will find, if you like to be hit in the head with a 2x4, read the book of James. Don't read it if you just need to be only shepherded, only inspired. James is speaking to Christians in the first century and today. And when he speaks to them, he was saying, look, you guys know a lot of the right stuff, but you're not doing the things you speak about. They also spoke a lot about the stuff they knew. When you think you're right, or when you know you're right, you tend to want everybody to know you're right. When a church thinks they're right about a style of worship or about this or about that or about this theology or that theology, they often like to make sure everybody knows this is what we believe. This is what's most important. And James has a word to say about that. Now remember, the question is, I'm going to keep drawing us back, how are we supposed to act in the world? How are we supposed to act as Christians? You asked it, in a dark world, in a broken world. Well, in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, James says this, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all," stop. Does he say, but there are a few of you excluded because you're more right than the rest? No, that's not what he says, darn it. "You must all be" what? "Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Verse 20. "Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." I've always disliked this verse. I really have. I've heard it over and over and over, but more and more and more as I live as a Christian in the world. And I'm a talker. I'm a preacher, obviously. I like to talk. I like to share. I like you to know what I think. But more and more and more as a follower of Christ, more and more I think in the world, the way the church is supposed to live is this verse. Remember, James was talking to a church that was saying a lot, that knew all the right things, that acted that like they knew things, but they weren't acting. They weren't doing, right? And so he speaks to them and he says, look, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And he's talking to the church. That's why he says, my brothers and sisters. All right, so he's talking to the church. And so if you would consider yourself a part of the church, a follower of Jesus, then he's speaking to you. And his basic message is this: listen more, talk less. How does that sit with you? Now remember, what's the question? How are we supposed to act in the world today? By listening more, talking less. I remember a speaker once said, isn't it interesting that God gave us two ears and one mouth? Even in his grand design, he put this verse into us. Listen more, talk less. Now, again, I want to draw you back to James because it should be noted that the context of what was happening right here. If you were to read the verses before what I just read, right? I started at verse what? 19. If you were to read the first 18 verses after James has a quick greeting, he wrote a letter to the church in the first century, and this was his message to them. If I could share with you one thing, it would be this. But after he shares with them the greeting, he begins to talk about the darkness of their world and the trials and the tribulations and the suffering and the difficulty that's happening. And you might think, well, it's nothing like our world. You didn't live in their world. They didn't live in ours. It was a dark world even then. Does it surprise us that 2,000 years ago, the world was dark and the world was broken and Christians were being persecuted and it was difficult? It's a difficult place to live. And so James is speaking into difficulty. And I think that the things that are happening around us right now are difficult for us. And we live and we go, I don't know what it's going to be like. And I see people post things like, how am I going to raise my children in this world? They were asking the same question. So it's into that context. Very similar probably to the context we live in. Yes, it looked different, but it was the same in that it was a dark time and a dark world, and they just wanted Jesus to come back, amen? I mean, they did. Do you know that the Bible, the first century, most of the Bible was not written down for 40 or 50 years after Jesus left, and you might think, why didn't they write it down? They thought he was coming back. They did. They thought, and then they thought, well, we better write this down. He's not back yet. And thank goodness, right? Thank God that they wrote it down so that we have it now. We believe that God divinely inspired that and that we have that here. But it's into that context. Listen, that James says, in a dark world, in a broken world where there's a lot of difficulty. Now, what would you think he would say? Speak into it! No, what does he say? Listen more, talk less. That's just odd to me. But I think it's a message for us today. Because honestly, wouldn't most of us say that our reaction really is the exact opposite of what James is prescribing here? Something happens, and what do? We react, we talk, we post. Yes, I'm talking to you. Is he talking to me? Yeah. Notice, too, James, what he says is, be quick to listen. It's interesting. I might have it kind of wrong when I say listen more. It's more like the first thing you do should be listen. Does that make sense? Listen. That should be the very first thing that we do. And then speak less. And there's this interesting thing where he says, because you get angry when you just start talking. Did you notice that? And anger doesn't lead to the righteousness that God desires. He's not pleased with the way we're acting very often. So maybe it would help if we listened more and talked less. Why would James say this? Because you would think, and I've been there, and I think this, and I get this wrong so much of the time, you would think that we should talk. You would think that we should say, we should this and that, and don't you know, we're right. See, I told you so, whatever. You know, don't you think that that's what James would prescribe, but it's not. What James says to the church about how to act in a dark world, he doesn't say never speak. I didn't say that. Don't think I said that. That's not what he said. He just said, be quick to listen. So listen first. Talk later. In our world, and I believe that for many of us, and for myself included, it really has to do with our desire to be right about things. Have you ever noticed you think you're right? Who's right in the room? Come on, seriously, raise your hand. No, you're not. I am. No, it's how we live. I'm right. You're wrong. I surround myself with people who think like me. So my context becomes everything I think. And so when I see something differently, I can't hear it. I'm not listening to it. I just have to tell you how wrong you are. Because see, me and all my buds were right. And we kind of live this way, isn't it? So I'm thinking, why would James say this? And again, it's in a world where we speak. In James's world, they didn't have all the technology and stuff we have. So speaking today happens in conversations, it happens on the phone, it happens in texting, it happens in email, and it certainly happens in social media. Social media is a brand new platform. Now I know some of us in the room are like, what is social media? Others are like, I live on social media. You know, I'm waiting for you to say something that I can post right now. That's the big thing now. When you go to conferences, you're just waiting for the speaker to say something that you can post because you want to be the first one to post what they said. And that's cool. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think a lot of things are worth posting. Sometimes I say, what's tweetable? Some of you are like, what is he talking about? You know, we're listening for sometimes things that can be resaid. But oftentimes, we're just saying things instead of hearing them. So we live in a world where a lot of things are said. We live in a world where a lot of information is given out. You know this thing that happened in France, we wouldn't have known about 100 or 200 years ago yet. But immediately things are posted. Immediately information is given. Our young people, the next generation, are growing up in a world saturated with information. One of my favorite books that I read about parenting is called Artificial Maturity by Tim Elmore, where he talks about it seems like the next generation has maturity because of the information, but it's artificial in that it's not applied to experiences. Does that make sense? So that it used to be to get information, I had to go ask somebody. I had to go find somebody. You can take courses online. You can get a PhD now without getting one. You can take all the courses, right? I mean, you can do these things. You can gain all the information. I mean, it's amazing to me. We talk about something at the dinner table. What is that? Boom, boom, pull out your phone. Oh, that's what it looks like, right? You've done this, right? So there's so much information out there, which also means we have the ability to speak about that information. And so it's so easy. I want you to think about when James said this, I'm not sure he knew about the world that was to come, but I think it applies to the world we live in. That when James says, listen more, talk less, I think he might have added post less as well. I do. Or as my mama used to say, think before you speak, or if you're not going to say something nice, don't say. You guys know that. How do you know that? You grew up in my family. Oh, but John, some people need to hear the things I have to say. I know what you're thinking. All right. Why is this such a big deal? Why would I make such a big deal of this? Why do I feel like I need to say? Why is this the direction I would go with a message on how are we supposed to act in the world today? Are you telling us just to be quiet, not say anything? Oh, gosh, I got to be careful with everything? Well, here's why I think we have to be careful with our words. You ready? Words have power, and therefore they should be used very, very carefully. I think we forget this. If you wonder if words have power, listen to what James... By the way, the tongue and words and what you say becomes a central theme in the book of James. He wastes a lot of time talking about it. What's next? Come on. Look at James chapter 3. I want to read 12 verses for you. It says this, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. I'm just letting that sink in for a minute. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Y'all have heard that, right? People can tame all kinds of animals. This is so funny. Birds, reptiles, and fish, although I've never seen a tame fish. But no one, y'all didn't laugh, but no one can tame the what? Tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. I am so guilty of this, are you? Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So James is very direct, very blunt here, and he talks about the tongue and words, and he explains that our words are very powerful, that they can do a lot of damage. And did you notice that the damage it does is to what? People. I know most of the time we're trying to speak to the situation, but very often the damage it does is not to a situation, it's to a person. But I'm right. Your need to be right is not more important than the person. You could disagree with me on that. But if they knew I was right, then they'd be okay. Maybe, maybe not. James, I think, picks up a theme from the Old Testament I've preached on before. I think we've done a whole series on this before. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue can bring death or life." Very simply, it states here. Now look at what it says. Scary. "Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." Sometimes don't you wish you could just get it back? Did I really just say that? Happened to me yesterday, even in my marriage. And I thought, I'm speaking on this tomorrow. Doesn't have to be about huge global world problems. I can't even get it right in my house. Amen, are you with me? I wish I could get that back, but it's gone. It came out. And Shauna said, that hurt. And all I can say is, I know, and I'm sorry, and will you forgive me in that moment? Because it's out. I didn't mean it. You heard it wrong. I tried all that. That don't work. Amen? Time to grow up, guys. That don't work. It shouldn't work. You said it. You meant it. Stop lying. Own it. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness. But we do this in all kinds of ways, in bigger ways as well. Not bigger, but in other ways. So the Old Testament, I think, tells us life or death. So that's why I'm saying be careful with what you say. And that's why I'm saying that as we live in this world, as the church lives in this world, as Christians live in this world, we need to be very careful with our what? Words. That's why I'm saying it's better to listen, to begin with listening. That's why James, I'm just picking up on his theme. Listen more, talk less. Guess what? If you don't say it, it's not out. Thank God. You don't have to go get it back. But if you'll listen, it might make a difference. Now here's where I hope you'll, if you haven't already, heard a prophetic word. Meaning, a word of loving correction. And I'll say this, if you're not a Christian, with what I'm about to say, you're off the hook. Doesn't apply. I have some of y'all who are Christians come to me and say, why would you say that? Because the person hasn't said, I'm following Jesus. And so the teachings of Jesus don't apply. You're wrong, John. They do apply. Not if you're not a follower of Jesus. Think, just worry about yourself right now. Amen? So you're off the hook. I think you can learn something from this. I think it's a good way to live. In fact, I think if you would follow Jesus with this, it would make it even better. But if you are, if you say, I am a follower of Jesus, I am a Christian, what do you want to say? Well, James takes all of this and then says something just really incredible in chapter 1, verse 26. He says, if you claim to be religious, and I know we don't like that word sometimes, but that's what James said, or if you claim to have faith, right? But you don't control your tongue. You are fooling yourself, and your religion or your faith is what? Worthless. Did you hear, James? Your faith, if you can't control your tongue, your words, is worthless. I didn't say it. James said it. James is picking up a theme of Jesus and God in the Bible. The Bible is clear on this issue, I think. Our religion, our faith is worthless. We're just fooling ourselves if we can't control our tongues, if we can't control our words, because our words are very, very powerful. And I'm just thinking that we needed to remember that today. I'm just thinking that with the things that are going on in our world right now, we needed to hear that. Needed a little reminding of that. James takes it just a little bit further, though. Very interesting verse. I never understood it for a long time. The next verse says, pure and genuine religion. See, because that's what we're looking for, right? He's like, your words and saying stuff. Remember, he's speaking to the first century church, and he's saying, all your stuff about being right and knowing everything, and it's all worthless if you can't control your tongue. In fact, if you really want to know what pure and genuine religion is, or genuine faith, it's this. In the sight of God means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That seems so weird, but see, here's what was happening in the first century church. Widows and orphans were being neglected. Widows and orphans were destitute. If a husband died, the woman was destitute, and the government wasn't going to take care of them. And the church was called to take care of them. That's what Jesus said, and that's what James is saying. Orphans, it was even worse. Children were lower than women. I'm not saying this is right. This is the way it was. And so they had women who were widows, and they had orphans who had no parents, and they're like, you keep talking about what is right, and it's right in front of you, and you're not even letting in the widows and the orphans. You're not even caring for, you're not even feeding these people, and you're telling everybody what you think. It's worthless. Didn't know I was going to get that excited. Y'all hearing me? Quest Church, our religion is worthless. Our faith is worthless if all we do is talk about it. And so what James is really saying is, hey, church, hey, church, hey, church. To add to what I said before, listen more, talk less, do something. That's what he's saying. That's the book of James. Listen more. Open up your ears. Even when you completely disagree with somebody, I know with some of the situations and things that are going on, I agree with the cops. I agree with the Black Lives Matter. I agree with this. I agree with that. Am I offending? I don't know. But listen, all of these things are going on. Have you listened to what the other people are saying? No, because I'm right. That's all we say. I'm right. And then we surround ourselves with people who are right. I don't need emails. I don't need Facebook posts this week. I don't need conversations after this message. Just listen, please. This matters, that we would listen more, talk less, and do something. A long time ago, someone said this: preach. If necessary, use words. All of this is so powerful, I think, and leads me to summarize it this way. If I could, because we're talking about, we want to be growing disciples, amen? We want to be, I do, I want to be, and listen, I am speaking to myself. This is like looking in a mirror today. If you want to be a growing disciple, if you're looking for, a growing disciple speaks less, listens more, and mostly just does. You hear me? A growing disciple speaks less, listens more, and mostly just goes about doing the work of God in his or her community and world. I added one more point right at the end. I had to type it into the computer this morning because it just... And it's this. We're not called to be right to a wrong world. We're called to be Jesus to a broken and hurting world. I think we need a paradigm shift. I know I do. I'm not called to be right in your wrongness, to correct your wrongness. I'm called to be Jesus to you. Because there's so much brokenness and hurt in our world. And I think it happens best, and I think that's what James is getting at. And that's why I bring this to you today, I hope, as a shepherding and a prophetic word. That it works best when we listen more, when we talk less, and when we simply do that which God is calling us to do. I was recently at a conference. And I never prayed this before, but I prayed. And I'll say something that some of you won't even know about, but I'm going to say it anyway. And the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, it says that an angel took a coal from the altar of God and brought it down, and guess what? Touched his lips so that he could be the messenger. I'm not saying not to speak. It's just when we speak, may it be the Holy Spirit's words. It's what was important for Isaiah. It's what's important for me. My prayer now before I speak to you is always, Lord, slay me. I have nothing to say. I used to have all kinds of things to say, believe me. Lord, I have nothing to say. May you speak. I'm not saying not to speak. Are you hearing me? Just talk less. Listen more. Do something. So at that conference, I just prayed, God, like Isaiah, do you still do this? Like Isaiah, do you still do this, God? This seems like such a sin. Have you ever prayed a prayer and you thought, this is silly? I can't believe I'm even asking this. I have nothing. I'm nothing like Isaiah. He's a great saint in the kingdom of God, and I'm just little old me. Just got this little church in Grove Town. But God, would you touch my lips? I only want to say what you want to say. Hear that word today, however you need to hear it. Let's pray.